ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജരാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി ഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം നിത്യലീലാപ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാ കുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനാമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഓ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഉല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ധോക്താ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജേന്ദ്രജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കയോർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജുമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേദീയമാനമുദ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാമരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്തന്വന്തിവേസ്തവയർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ കൃഷ്ണ സേയിങ് ദേർ യോ മാം അജം അനാദിം ച വേത്തി ലോകമഹേശ്വരം അസം മൂഢസമർത്ഥ്യേഷു സർവപാപൈ പ്രമുച്യതേ ഇൻ ദ തേർഡ് വേർഡ്സ് ഹി സെഡ് ദാറ്റ് സോ കൃഷ്ണസ് പോയിന്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ദി ഹൗ വൈ ഹീസ് നോൺ ആസ് വേത്തി ലോകമഹേശ്വരം വാട്ട് ഇസ് ദ റീസൺ ഫോർ ദാറ്റ് ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി ഫോർത്ത് ആൻഡ് ഫിഫ്ത് വേർഡ്സസ് ബുദ്ധിർജ്ഞാനം അസംമോഹം ക്ഷമാ സത്യം ദമശമം സുഖം ദുഃഖം ഭവോ അഭാവം ഭയം ച അഭയമേവ ച അഹിംസ സമത തുഷ്ടി തപോ ദാനം യശോ അയശസ് ഭവന്തി ഭാവഭൂതാനം മത്തയേവ പൃഥഗ്വിധാഃ സോ വാട്ട് ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണ സേയിങ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ദാറ്റ് ദീസ് ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഭാവം ദർ ഓൾ ഭാവം ആക്ച്വലി വിച്ച് വൺ ബുദ്ധി ജ്ഞാനം അസമോഹം ക്ഷമ സത്യം ദമം ക്ഷമം ദേ ആർ ഓൾ ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഭാവം കംസ് ഫ്രം ഹിം ഫ്രം അന്തര്യാമി ദേ കം ഓൾ ഓഫ് ദം ആർ നെസസറി ഇൻ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ് ഫോർ എ പേഴ്സൺ വിത്ത് സ്പിരിച്വൽ നേച്ചർ വിൽ ഹാവ് ദീസ് these things in him. And where do they come from? Antaryami. All the other, the bad ones, ragadvesham, greed, anger, lust, and all the other impurities, they all come from the ahankara. This is, we should know that. So Krishna is saying, what does buddhi mean? Acharya Swami says, buddhi means andakaranasya sushma artham avabhodana samarthyam. When you have that capacity to see the subtle things in life, sushma buddhi, sushma artha avabhodana samarthyam. That means when things are spoken from Shastram, able to grasp the subtle things in there. Sushma artham avabhodana samarthyam. It says, tadvandam buddhiman idhi vadandi. Such a person is buddhiman. He has got buddhi, he says. So the capacity of our subtle body to grasp the message correctly, what is spoken in the Shastram, able to accept that without any confusions, that is called buddhi. Able to accept the message, able to extract the message of the Shastram, and our capacity of our subtle body to do that is buddhi. But then, jnanam almadi padarthanam avabhodaha, says, the knowledge of the soul, particularly the knowledge of the soul, that is knowledge. Krishna considers that way. Only knowledge of the soul is knowledge. Everything else is considered to be avidya. Everything else is avidya, except knowledge of the soul. Asammoha pratyulpanyeshu bodhavyeshu viveka purvika pravrti. Able to know things properly and intelligently able to deal with them is asammoham. Kshama akrushtasya tadidasiva avigrita chitta. Somebody abuses you or insults you and curses you, and even if they beat you, still able to stay there untouched by, unaffected by that. That is kshama. Satyam yatha drishtasya yatha shrutasya cha almanubhavasya parabuddhi samkrandaye tatha eva uchariyamana vak satyam uchare. Whatever we have seen and heard and experienced, those things, mentioning, saying that as it is to others, that is called satyam. Not mixing it with lies into it. Damo bahya indriya upashamam. Able to control all the senses. That is damam. Shamam andakaranasya upashamam. Shamam means mind and intelligence. Able to control them properly. Sukham ahlada dukham santabha. Bhavaha udbhavaha abhavaha. Tad vibhajaya bhayam ja trasaha abhayam evaja tad vibhajidam ahimsa aprida prani samada samachittada. And he says there that sahajiv, all other living entities in this world who are here with us, all other living entities, not giving any trouble to them itself is ahimsa. And samachitta, aprida praninam samada samachittada. Whatever happens in life, or whatever unpleasant things happens, still not losing your balance and being stable in life. Samachitada. Tushti sandosha paryapta buddhi labeshu. Whatever one comes in life satisfied with that, that is tushti. And tapa indriya samyama purvagam sharira pidanam. Able to control all the senses, and not giving way to the demands of the body. Able to control the senses. Tapasya. Danam yatha shakti samvibhagaha. According to one's capacity, giving away everything in life. Not accumulating, but what he has got, one leaving for the other living entities. Right? Yasho dharma nimitta kirti. And living based on dharma, living a life of dharma, And due to that, or there is appreciating that, that's kirti. Ayasha adharma nimitta agirti. One who lives based on adharma, he says his, how he becomes famous in this world through adharma, that is ayashas. Bhavandi bhava yadhokta buddhyadeyo bhudanam praninam matta eva ishwaral pradak vidaha nana vidaha so karman rubena kimcha. Krishna says that all living entities, in them all these bhavams comes, and according to their karmam, based on their karmam, these bhavam comes in them. Based on their karmam, these bhavam comes in them. So that is what yesterday we were talking, and that this bhavam, how bhavam develops in a person. You see, Krishna says there, matta eva pradagvidaha. Bhavandi bhava bhudhanam. How did this different bhavam comes? Matta eva pradagvidaha. They are all coming because, as we said yesterday, that the when we come from previous life, from previous many lifetimes, there is a bijam in us of different bhavams developing. Bhava bijam, they call it. So that bhava bijam is what we are actually. That is the, our essence is that. Bhava bijam. And it is knowing this bhava bijam is the duty of a good spiritual master. Of a person when he sees, he is able to see through your subtle body. That is how all proper initiation is done in that way. In the, particularly in the Jnanamargam, they will see through your subtle body well, what all vasanas he has got, what are the bhavams he has got inside, bhavabijam, right? So, then he says that the, if he knows that, if the guru knows the bhavam of a person, and then accordingly he has to mold him. Not give him some totally different instructions which is not in connection with his samskaram. Suppose if you guide a person in another way, different from his original nature, then he will get conflicts inside all the time. That's why it's so important. And allow that bijam to grow inside and develop into a tree. So this bhavandi bhava bhudanam, what Krishna is saying, is everything what is happening inside us. It has to happen inside us. Bhavandi bhava bhudanam. Then Krishna said there, dhanam, tushti, sandosham. If you have this tushti, you have, if you have the mercy of the Antaryami. Ultimately everything comes from Antaryami. But tushti is satisfaction in life with whatever one has. Satisfied with life. Some people are never satisfied. But some people you find totally satisfied in life. Not craving for things again and again, more and more. So tushti, or that satisfaction or fulfillment, is possible with Krishna's mercy, Antaryami's mercy, right? Sometimes you will see in some people, they got everything, but still unsettled, a disturbed state always, right? So, even for good people this happens, that a restlessness in life, or disturbances, depression and all that, coming in life, not satisfied, something is lacking all the time. And that means there is no tushti. Tushti is not there. So once you are happy inside, that means if you are not disturbed inside, tushti will be there in a person. Tapaha, dhanam. Dhanam, charity, they say you should give like the way Krishna gives to charity. Ishvara gives to us. Krishna doesn't ask anything, he just gives us everything, what we need, right? So, when we give the charity, our ego gives the charity. It shouldn't be like that. Antaryami should be giving the charity, right? They say, for example, the best example is, the closest connection to all this mother and the child. When the mother gives looking after the child, she is not expecting anything from that, isn't it? And she doesn't say, like nowadays everything you do, it has to be photographed and put on the reels and Facebook and everything. Every little thing what you do. A mother does not do that, does it? But that, oh, I'm looking after a child, the whole world should know I'm looking after my child. So that's the way it is. Yeah. So mother won't ask, oh, you have to take a photograph and put it on the Facebook. So, and also when she gives it, she is not expecting from the child any gratitude either. She just does it out of love and affection for the child, she does it. Not expecting anything in return. Every mother does it that way, right? And she doesn't say it has to be photographed, it should be put in the paper, that I have so much affection for my child, right? So, what's happening? Why is that? Because she is giving herself, for the child, she's giving herself to the child, like Krishna gives himself to us in the same way. The child is not. Child may not have any value for it, like us. We don't have any value for what Krishna is giving us. No gratitude. We think it's all there for us. That's the way we've been told. But the point is that the child does not feel, he will do what he likes with it, whatever he gets from the mother. He will do whatever he likes. But Krishna also, our relationship is like that with Krishna. Krishna gives us everything, and he gives us a lot, but we don't even turn back to say gratitude for that, right? He keeps on giving us, right? You can see in the nature how it works, right? Without any gratitude, the rain comes, still the rain comes, and seasons are changing, everything is happening in the world, right? So, charity should be performed in that way, like the way Krishna does the charity. All what we are experiencing in this world is Krishna's charity, is it not? It is Krishna's charity we are experiencing here. The food, the sunshine, water, air, and our very existence here. Medicines are provided. All the plants and the creepers, trees, everything provides us the medicines, aushadhi, for our survival here. The food. So what is, without Krishna supply all these things, but he is not asking any accounts from us for anything, not even expecting us to be grateful for that. So in the same way, we should do charity, it says. Not expecting anything in return from the charity. Just give that. Yeah. So because individually is not giving the charity, Antaryami is prompting you to do the charity. Yeah. Antaryami from inside, he is forcing us to give away. Otherwise it won't happen, right? And others shouldn't know that it is being done. Then, Yashaha, he says, Tapo Danam Yasho Ayashasa. Yashaha means, Yashas is normally come from Krishna is behind it. That's how yashas should come. Yeah. People, jnanis, for example, realized souls, all of them, they don't have to advertise about themselves, or they won't be looking for name or fame in this world, jnanis. They don't want name or fame. Yeah. Automatically it will happen to them by their presence in this world. And that's arranged by Krishna's arrangement. It has to happen. It's not that you advertise and make yourself popular. And all this is not spiritual. Spiritual understanding that Krishna has to, Krishna, if necessary, he will make you known. Although others will come to you automatically. You don't have to go looking for name and fame. That's not spiritual very much, right? So, sometimes you will see people say this, that they, in their dreams, they saw someone and they wanted to meet him badly. That is all Krishna's arrangement. Inside, in your dreams, you get to see someone, right? somewhere far away from Vrindavanam or places, holy places where Mahatmas are living, far away, somebody gets a dream about a Mahatma living in Vrindavanam or Haridwar or places like that, and they come to see him later. There are cases like that, right? So that way, that is how Yashasa comes, fame. Yashasa means fame. That is how fame, Yashasa comes, right? So actually it is Krishna's Yashasa it is. Yashas belongs to Krishna, right? Not the individual who is coming into the picture, but actually Yashas is Krishna's Yashas, right? So in the same way, if name and fame is a problem for an individual, Krishna will destroy that also. If name and fame is going to cause a problem for an individual, Krishna will destroy that, right? And in such a way that Krishna will create some situation in his life to get insulted and offended by others, and that way they will bring it down, bring him down. Ayashasa it is called, Ayashasa, right? And sometimes it is like an operation on a person, right? Because sometimes when you get hurt or cursed by others, criticized by others heavily, it will destroy your ego, isn't it? It will destroy our ego. And that means if there is ego growing inside, Krishna will poison you from outside to get that ego gone from inside, right? So for that growth or cancer of ahankaram, not allow that cancer of ahankaram to grow, Krishna will crush it down from outside with ayashasa. In the olden days, for the cancer, you know what the treatment was? Nowadays you have radiotherapy and what the other one's called? Chemotherapy and radiotherapy and all that. In the olden days, there is a thing called a leech. With the leech they make to bite you on the places where you have the cancer. That was the treatment then, right? Similarly, for ahankaram, also our ego, this ayashasa, that means bad propaganda, bad name, and insult, if that is good for him, then ayashaha. So all these things Krishna listed here. Ahimsa, samata, tushti, tapo, danam, yashasa, ayashasa, bhavandi bhava bhudhanam, matta eva pradadvidha. So, a person who is doing good sadhana, uttama sadhana, or one who is serious in spiritual life, yeah, he will know that where everything is coming from. Then, yeah, it means he will know the source when these things happen. He will know where it is coming from. Then, he will know that what he is experiencing outside is actually coming from inside. But it will come in the form of some people from outside. But it is prompted from Andaryami inside. You can see that in life sometimes somebody will come and give curse you and abuse you, and then he will go away after that. For nothing. Why they have come in your life to condemn you and criticize you and curse you and give you all trouble for some time, and then they will go. And you will never see them again in life. That means you had some prarabdham to come. Only thing is that prarabdham has come through that person. Without any reason, they will come and abuse you and they'll go. So that is what he is saying, that matta eva pradak bhavam, matta eva pradak vidaha. So uttama sadhaka or first class sadhaka, he will know that matta eva bhavandi, that everything is happening from andaryami. All these are controlled by Antaryami from inside, because Antaryami is one in everybody. And he had come in order to wipe out some prarabdham from inside me. He has come as a cause behind it. That's all, right? And that thing, only Antaryami knows why it has happened that way, right? And sometimes, some of our propensities inside, vasanas inside, cannot be taken out with sadhana. With sadhana, it won't go. Even if you do sadhana, it won't go by doing sadhana. Or even if you study shastram and do atma-vijayaram and all that, still it won't go, right? That has to be wiped out in this way only. Somebody has to come and abuse you, and that way that vasana has to go from inside, right? And through that is another way of wiping out our bad vasanas inside, right? So, like in the olden days, now we have this flush toilets and all that. But in the past, long ago, when you had toilets, there was a system that somebody will come and clean it. And because he has to clean so many toilets, generally people look at them in a different way, that they are not allowed to come closer inside the house and all that, because of the karmam they are involved with, right? And it is the same way that when you are hating some people or you are insulting some people, they are like that. That they are, for some reason, they come and they do their work and they go. They come and they do clean us, they clean us and then they go. They come and clean the toilet and go. In the same way, they come and clean us and then they go, right? Ekanath Swami says about this that somebody insulted him very heavily. So he says, look at this, they are all karma yogis, he said, because they are not expecting anything in return. You know, you don't have to pay them anything. They come freely, they clean us, and then they go. Free, they clean us up by doing this. This is a service they are doing to us. This is how Ekanath Swami sees that. You see the mind behind that, how spiritual realization, right? So he's saying that they come and clean us, and then they go. Like they come and clean the toilet, they come and clean our mind, and then they go. By insulting us, abusing us, and they take away our karma in that way, and they go. So, they're saying that, for example, Ganga River, Kashi, Haridwar, all these places is Tirtham, is it not? But more powerful than that Tirtham is these people who come and purify us by their words and by sometimes by their actions, right? These people give us much more purification than going to Kashi or Ganga or Haridwar. The people who come in our life and give us a load of abuses and then they go away, right? So, but if it has to become a purification for us, if we have to get purified, then from our side there shouldn't be any reaction when they do it. And able to accept that Krishna has arranged this and he has come in this form, and in that way we have to able to accept it that way. Only then it will purify us, right? So if we do like that, our mind and intelligence will become much more calm and cool. Yeah. And our nerves also will become much more relaxed, less tensions, right? If somebody comes and abuses us, it hits the ego straight away and our ego comes off. Sometimes Mahatmas also, out of mercy, they will abuse you, heavily chastise you, right? So just like they are doing arati to you with their abuses, right? And after they have abused us, whatever we had false understanding in our mind about things, that will go. So every incidence that happens in our life, it's not coming from outside. It's coming from inside. Yeah? Because when an incident happens like that in life, like an insult of somebody giving us some trouble in life in some form, we have to know that proportionately there must be a problem inside me. I have a problem inside proportionately to the insult I receive from outside. And that is why it has happened. That's why it has happened, right? So, fault in me, inside me, its mirror is this person who is coming. And all the persons who come and deal with us in that harsh way, or they are coming and reacting to us in that way, or all the incidents, what happens in life, or the events that happens in life, is all one of those defects what is inside me, faults I have inside me, right? And only thing is, it gets removed when this person comes or an incident happens in life to get this ego down, the ego down, right? So when it happens like that, a person comes to, or an incident happens in life, so many things happens in life without our, unexpectedly things happen, isn't it? When that happens, if you realize that and if you are able to accept it that way and stand up to that in that situation, right, then this impurity what you have, it will be taken out. And it will go. Along with that, it will go. The person will take it away from you. When we face situations in life like that, in various ways it happens, is it not? Everybody may not be nice to us in life. Some people will be nice, some people may not be. So you no doubt to feel that if we feel that person is against me, this person is against me, he is my friend, and all these kind of things. What Krishna is saying is that when we are experiencing such things in life, it should be taken that bad things are happening to us, we are getting hurt. It means that our ahankaram requires some control and it is growing. So in order to suppress that, someone comes in life and he gives you an abuse. So if you accept that without reacting to it, then that will purify you. But if you react, then it won't purify. It won't purify. If you react, then it won't purify. But if you stand up to it and totally absorb it without protesting anything against it, realizing that it is an arrangement, Krishna's arrangement, that Antaryami's arrangement to clean up something inside and able to accept it that way. So, and everything will be washed out inside with that, yeah? And that is what Krishna is saying. Matta eva pradagvidha means that. Matta eva pradagvidha. Different bhavams, pradagvidha means different bhavams, are coming for this reason only. Matta eva pradagvidha. So, Krishna says, you should know it's all coming from me, he says. See, he's saying that. He says, actually it is coming from me. You are facing the music of an abuse, but the source of that abuse, it's me. Matta eva pradagvidha. All these different bhavams, these are thinking things in a very subtle level. But most of us are don't thinking that way. Somebody comes, we face straight to come back. That's our nature. The nature has become like that. But this is Shastram saying like this, Krishna is saying like this, that all the different bhavams that we have to deal with in this world is actually coming from Antaryami. Antaryami creates that situation for somebody to come. He comes and does his job because Antaryami is one in everyone. It's the same Antaryami. So Antaryami dictates from that person, you go and give him a load of, criticism. And then he comes and does and he goes away. And then we turn against him, thinking that he is responsible for all our suffering, all our misery in that way, right? So, so that's what it is. Ahimsa samata tushti tabodhanam yasho ayashas bhavandi bhavo bodhanam matta eva pradag vidaha. So, Upanishad also says, yada vispulingat pavakat, all those things, prabhavandi. Strictly speaking, like Krishnavadaram comes, Ramavadaram comes, in the same way, Antaryami is the Krishnavadaram, Ramavadaram, everything is Antaryami only. Antaryami comes in all these different forms in front of us, right? Similarly, Antaryami comes in all these different bhavam in our life also, in different dresses, in different people in different dresses, they come against us or favoring us, right? So, every emotion, Antaryami puts in that dress form and he comes favorably or unfavorably to us. If we know that, then our knowledge becomes proper. We are in the proper state, right? And Krishna will call this as Avigamba Yogam. Krishna given a name to that, Avigamba Yogam. This Antaryami reacting through other people and bringing us the happiness and distress through them. Avigamba Yogam. You will see that mentioned in the verse after the next. In the seventh verse, you see. Edam vibhudim yogam cha mamayo veti tattvada so avigambena yogena yujjade natra samshaya. This Avigamba Yogam is this. Avigambena yogena yujjade natra samshaya. So, Krishna is going to say this later, that there is no separate life here. Entire life is divine. In other words, our life is perfect, but all this is a part of that setup of Antaryami's control on us. Antaryami balances us when it is necessary, according to our prarabdham. He will manage it. From inside, he will manage everything, right? So, this entire life, how it is being managed in this way. So, every moment in our life, our emotions or thoughts, we have to recognize Antaryami's presence inside. Antaryami controlling that, right? Because he is at the center of everything, of our existence. He is the center, not the ego. Antaryami is the center of our existence, yeah? So that is what he is saying here. He is Ishvara. Antaryami is Ishvara. In that third verse he said, Ajam Anadimcha Veti Loka Maheshwaram. Yeah. Maheshwara is present inside and not the ego. Not the ego, right? If we realize it that way, instead of thinking the ego is inside and thinking independently, not recognizing the presence of Antaryami inside, then whatever happens in life, that if you recognize the Antaryami's presence, then whatever comes from him, whatever happens in life, existing then, and whatever disappears at the end, everything is divine. If you recognize it that way, if it is coming from the Antaryami, if you accept it that way, then it's all divine. Even if these abuses and insults and praise and all these things happen, if you recognize that it is Antaryami's arrangement, Antaryami is behind it, then whole life is divine. Then you are seeing the life in the proper way. Otherwise, when you are in the identification of the Ahankaram, then Ahankaram is dealing with everything. All our reactions in this world, praise, insult, everything, is Antaryam, Ahankaram does that. You get that, you come to another stage then. Ahankaram means it will react. And if you have the principle that Antaryami is controlling things, then you won't react in that way. That's the point. Yeah. So, for example, thoughts and emotions that comes inside, who controls them? Antaryami controls them, isn't it? Similarly, the karmam, that different types of karmam comes in your life. Antaryami decides that. Yeah. Similarly, different persons who come to you and deal with you, Antaryami decides that. And all these things doesn't happen without any reason behind it. So, this same thing, you will see that in that Dakshinamurti Sotram also, the same thing is spoken. This Dakshinamurti Sotram, what we have discussed before, it's like in Upanishad it is, right? It's saying, Vishwam Pashyati Karya Karanataya Swami Sambandhada Shishya Acharya Daya Tadaiva Pitrupu Putra Dhyatmana Bhedada Sotne Jagradi Va Sa Esha Purusho Maya Paribhramita Tasmai Shri Gurumurtaye Nama Idam Sri Dakshinamurti. So here he says that Karya Karanam. Karya Karanam, cause and effect. In Karya Karanataya, for example, father, mother, relations, husband, wife, guru, disciple. All these things have an effect, cause and effect. If there is a guru, there is a disciple. Similarly, if there's a husband, there's a wife. Similarly, father, mother. For the children, father and mother. And similarly, relations. All these things, who comes like that is Antaryami comes in all these different forms in our life. They are all the closer with whom you have to deal closely. Father, mother, and similarly relations, brothers, sisters, and all other things. Then guru, disciple. Similarly, husband, wife. In all these different forms, Antaryami decides that who should come in that form. Antaryami is behind that. Antaryami is one. In these different forms, Antaryami chooses and he comes in our life like that, in that way, right? And that's what he is saying. Then you see, Karya Karanataya Vishwam Pashyati Karya Karanataya So Swami Sambandhada. All these relationships, right? Shishya Acharyataya Tadaiva Pitruputra Adhyatmana Bhedada. Guru and the disciple, Antaryami comes in both. Similarly, Pitraputra Dhyatmanam Vedada. Father and the son, that relationship is Antaryami decides that. Antaryami comes in two different forms, that's all. Sapne Jagradivasa Esha Purusho Maya Paribhramida Tasmai Shri Gurumurtaye. So, similarly, friend and enemy, who comes? Antaryami comes in the form of friend and enemy, right? And if we get to know like that, and then our connection with the world will change if we accept this, what he is saying here, right? So, this different relationships, it can change, relationships can change, but that bhavam doesn't change. And Antaryami's bhavam doesn't change, right? For example, you can see, understand this better. Sometimes you may have to fight with Krishna, fight with the Shiva also, in the same way. Antaryami is one. Antaryami is Krishna, Antaryami is Shiva. Antaryami's different bhavams are there all, right? For example, you can see that Hiranyakashipu came. Hiranyaksha also came. They came as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, right? They know very well, while they were fighting with Antaryami in another form outside, with Krishna. Hiranyaksha had to fight with Varahamurti. And Hiranyakashipu also had to fight with Narasimham. And Ravana, Kumbhakarna, all these are different bhavams of the Antaryami. And they knew that, right? But what was happening then? Hate between them and Krishna. There was hate, right? Where did that hate come from, right? Krishna created the hate in them from inside. That's that how it happened. Krishna allowed that hate to come out, right? Because even though they lived in Vaikuntham, that impurity has not gone from inside. And that's how I ended up in against the Kumaras. Is it not? What made Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, Jaya and Vijaya, what? They were in Vaikuntham. And in Vaikuntham they behaved like that. So we say Vaikuntham is all great, but then this happened in Vaikuntham. We are want to go to Vaikuntham. So they were living in Vaikuntham and they did this to four Kumaras, did they not? They stopped them coming to see Vishnu, right? So, so even they were gatekeepers there. You expect them to be pure, but it didn't happen though, right? So that hate inside, some vasana inside was there. It didn't leave them. So therefore, when they came here, all that vasana piled up and came in a big form, stroke. Vasana in its very seed form was inside them. That's why they were sent here. When they were sent here. And when they came here, the whole thing became very intense inside, right? And that hate, what they had, is what made them, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, Ravana and Kumbhakarna and all that, right? And so therefore, they had that to go through. So they were sent here, right? So when we come here, right, we are in the hands of Prakriti, Maya. We are in the hands of Prakriti. This is called the Mandalam of Prakriti. Shakti's Mandalam. It is, right? So, here what it does is that just like, you know, the sugar cane, they put to the machine and they do like this and the juice comes out. In the same way, all the impurities have to be taken out from inside us.
Because we have got a lot of things inside. It requires this treatment. Sugarcane business, right? Right? So similarly, they extract everything out of us. There is no other way of doing that, right? So, just because you booked a 1 week for a yoga course, with that all, this won't get purified easily. This won't go with a 1 week yoga course and all that. You know, so many courses available, right? So, only thing is you spend £400 or £500 for that course and that money is gone, that's all, right? That's only benefit. So, to become like they got purified like this, Jainvijaya. Similarly, to get purified like this under the power of the Prakriti is very rare thing. It doesn't happen so easily, right? Strictly speaking, right, we won't have any siddhis, right? Because all the siddhis, what we have, is coming from Prakriti, right? What Krishna has said here, Matra Bhavandi Bhava Bodhanam. To understand all these verses, because it's all concerned with our existence in this world. Bhavandi Bhava Bodhanam Matra Eva Pradek Vidha. How different bhavams in a person, what we experience in life, our prarabdham and our vasanas are all connected to each other. And who manages all that? Antaryami manages. He has to know our prarabdham, he has to know our vasanas, and accordingly we have to be cycled through this purification of life. Yeah. So you can see here that the when this different bhavam comes, this bhavams what comes in us? All bhavams are actually prakriti. That is called in another way, is bhavam. We say about some person, that's his prakriti, we say. We also say, that's his bhavam. Look at his bhavam, he said. So this bhavam prakriti is not much different, right? So, when that bhavam comes inside us, right, you can see that in the case of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, how powerful they were, right? It happened with Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Then when they came as Ravana and Kumbhakarna also, it came down a bit. It was very intense in the first one, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Actually, all those who have taught to us this Saptama Skandam in the Bhagavatam is, what is it? Udi. More to talk about vasanas, isn't it? Udaya karma vasana, it says. Karmam, how that has conditioned us in the form of vasana, and how vasana has to be released from a person. How you get rid of that vasana? Through these different bodies what we get. So, here, you saw that in Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, it was very strong, the way they reacted, compared to Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Ravana and Kumbhakarna, by the time Ravana and Kumbhakarna came, it has mellowed down a bit. And by the time Shishuvala and Dandavaktra came, it was much lesser. Have you noticed that? In Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, it was very strong, the reaction, the way they acted. Was not the hate what Hiranyaksha has shown and the hate what Hiranyakashipu has shown. It wasn't that bad when you came to Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Ravana and Kumbhakarna did not act like the way they have acted. And then again, by the time Shishuvala and Dandavaktra came, it has lessened further. Shishuvala only abused a few hundred times Krishna, and that's it. There was not so much like the way Ravana and Kumbhakarna has acted. And Dandavatra, we don't even see much mentioned about him in the Bhagavatam. He just a small reference to him. Because by then it is all fizzled out. The vasanas have gone practically with them. So, they say that Dandavatra and Shishuvala is just like the dogs barking. The dogs bark, in the same way. They were just barking, that's all. Nothing more than that, right? So, and you don't see him, Dandavakra mentioned also much about Dandavakra. One or two verses, that's all. So what do we know from that? That means that in order to purify us, those three lifetimes were shown to us to show that the Asura Buddhi, how it requires, when it is very strong, it needed three lifetimes. So, and self-realization to happen, it doesn't require everyone has to go through all these things, like the way they had to go through. But without our knowledge, we will slowly get purified in our own life with our experiences in this world. Our life is, we are also like them only, but we are in a much miniature scale. We have come with our vasana, and we are, what's happening here is, we are getting purified with the life, all the knocks what we get from here. Krishna is hitting from all sides, through the body, through the mind. And we are also, like they got hit by Narasimha Murthy in the Varaha Murthy, and similarly Ramachandra and Lakshmana, and similarly Krishna later. We are also getting kicked, purified by the Prakriti, Andaryami, through our life in this world. Yeah. So, and as much as we get hit, our impurities are also getting wiped out, right? And little bit of our dosham, our defects or our problems inside, when that goes away, Krishna's mercy will start flowing to us in little dosages, right? So, what is impurities inside? Like the juice is extracted out, in the same way, Krishna will take away all the essence from inside. You can look at our own life. By the time you get old and you start getting sick, all our ahankaram also goes, ego goes away. By then you start realizing that this is all life about, nothing more than that, right? So in this way, everything Krishna is purifying us in another way, right? So all these bhavam, what Krishna mentions there, comes from Andaryami. Matta eva pradagvitha, right? So, when this bhavam, actually it is difficult to understand our life in total, is it not? The prarabdham involved, the vasanas involved, and all our experiences in life. How do we connect all these things together? It's all connected through Andaryami. Andaryami is controlling everything. Only thing is, we have to become aware of that. That Andaryami is doing all these things. This is a purification going on. Yeah. So when it has become that, understanding comes, right? That is Krishna's mercy. When that understanding comes, that is Krishna's mercy, right? When that happens, bhavana comes inside, yeah? The materialistic bhavana we have, that bhavana is that so many things exist here. That's a materialistic bhavana inside. So many things exist here, right? So, and then what happens? Ragadvesham, kamam, krodham, this, that, yeah, it turns form, takes in that form. Our bhavana takes in that form, right? for example, in every bhavam, what we have, for example, you feel greedy inside. I want a lot of money, right? Where did that come from? Andaryami created that inside, that desire inside. Andaryami created that desire inside. Lust, same thing. Greed, same thing, right? So all kinds of desires, for example, When you start seeing everything in terms of money or Ishvara, then it comes in the form of greed. And if you start getting very attached to the son or daughter in that way, it becomes a bondage. Ishvara becomes a bondage. That bhavam, that son and daughter, very dear to me, they are my son and my daughter. When that bhavam is coming from inside, in the form of attachment, that bhavam is, it's a bondage, as pasham it is. So, again comes from Andaryami. So, all bhavam inside us, desire, greed, lust, anger, all different types of bhavams, attachment, aversion, where this all come from? Andaryami. Andaryami is the origin of all these things. So we have to know it that way. That is what, this verse is very important, because see what Krishna is saying, he said so many things. He said all the good things he mentioned first. And then he said, bhavandi bhava bhudanam matta eva pradagvida. That all bhavams in us, they are all different bhavams, isn't it? Sometimes you feel, oh my son and daughter, I have to make sure that they are always happy, and they are always, you have to protect them. Who else will protect them? And this kind of thoughts comes in a father or a mother. Where is it coming from? Bhavandi bhava bhodanam matta eva pradagvida. Krishna says, andaryami, all bhavams, whether good or bad, good bhavams comes, they are coming from the andaryami. Bad bhavam, which is coming, when we say coming from ahangaram, it's also coming from andaryami only, but it comes through the ahangaram. That's the difference. Everything, mattayama pradagvida, all times of bhavam comes from Krishna, but when it comes directly from andaryami, it comes in the good way. When it comes the bad ones, bad bhavams, what comes in us, it comes through ahangaram. That's the way it is mentioned here, right? So, for example, when Andaryami wants us, the lust to come in us, we will start seeing male and female bhava in us. Sri Purusha bhava. That is when Andaryami triggers the lusty desires in us, when he generates that, right? So, when you think about Ishvara as money, it comes in the form of greed. When you think of Ishvara as man and woman, at that time it comes in the form of lust. That bhava comes in the form of lust, right? When you think of Ishvara as another person like that, it can come in the form of envy, hate, or anger in this way. So what he's saying here is that, when we say Ishvara, Ishvara, Andaryami, whichever way you call that, right? all these different bhavams, Ishvara is taking that bhavam and he becomes separate and he is affecting us, influencing our nature, right? So when that happens, inside a jiva, there will be a bhavana. When Ishvara does this, the bhavana comes in the jiva, right? And all these different bhavana, if it has to go, Krishna is saying here that only when Andaryami is completely happy with our nature, when everything goes away from inside, that is the only way all this bhavana will stop. Yeah. And Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita, in another place. If you look into the second chapter, 66th verse, 266. Krishna is saying there, he has mentioned all this in the Gita. Only thing is, because it's not gone into that proper understanding, right? Nasti buddhir ayuktasya, na cha ayuktasya bhavana, na cha bhavayada shandi, ashandasya kuta sukham. If you analyze that verse, you will see what is the effect of this bhavana. He says, na cha ayuktasya bhavana. One, nasti buddhir ayuktasya, na cha ayuktasya bhavana, na cha bhavayata shandi, ashandasya kutasukham. One who has this mind as not controlled, he will never have self-realization. Knowledge of the self won't happen. And one who has no control of the mind, he won't get attracted to the tattvam, tattvajnanam, he won't be attracted to that. Similarly, Astiya Bhavana, there is a commentary, Bhashyam on that. He says that one who has no Astikya Bhavana, Astikya Bhavana means the consciousness of the soul, awareness of the soul, he will never be peaceful, he says. And one who is not peaceful, he won't be happy. Ashandasya kuta sukham, he says. Shandi will come from when the mind is peaceful. When the mind is peaceful, shandi will come. And when shandi is not there, there is no happiness. Disturbed state, yeah? So, nasti buddhira yuktasya, naja yuktasya bhavana, naja bhavayada shandi, ashandasya kutasukham. Krishna is saying like that, right? So, Acharya Swamiji mentions there that if mind and intelligence, if it is not in a samadhi state, in other words, it is not getting affected by the modes too much. If it is getting affected by the modes a lot, three modes of nature, right? If it is not happening that way, then he will never have atmajnana, knowledge of the self, won't happen to him. And what else? Na asti na vidyena bhavati ityartha buddhi atma swarupa vishayam ayuktasya asamahida andhakaranasya na cha asti ayuktasya bhavana atmajnanam abhinivesha. And one who is not endeavoring for self-realization, for spiritual knowledge and self-realization, he will never have shandi, he says. He will never have shandi. And one who does not have shandi, he won't have happiness either. Because if you are able to stop running after sense gratification, and from that free desire for sense gratification, if you become free from that, that is happiness. And one who has a lot of desires, there cannot be any happiness for him. So that verse there, what he mentions there, ashandasya kutasukham, and nasti buddhi ayuktasya. So, the opposite example is what is spoken here, right? What Krishna is saying, the other way, in other words, in this verse, what we were looking at now, Matayeva Pratagvidha, what we have just spoken, right? this qualification, and when he said, Bhavandi Bhava Bodhana Matayeva Pratagvidha, what we have said here, right? So, Krishna saying, what we have discussed so far, is all these negative things. For example, anger, greed, lust, all other things. Antaryami is doing that. That he creates that bhavam inside us. Yeah. And in that 66th verse, in the second chapter, what Krishna is speaking in the other way, opposite way. He says, if you have yuktam, Ayuktasya, this will happen. But if you are yuktam, yuktam means if you have that favorable situation, yeah? In him, that he has come to this state of karma yogam. Karma yogam. In that karma yogam state, this bhavana will be there in him. In other words, wherever Krishna has put us in life, whatever situation we have landed at the end, where Krishna has put us in, right? And staying in that state where we are, right? All of that is, we have to know that Krishna has put us in this situation for some reason. There is something that is inside us, requires purification. For that purpose, he has put us in that condition, in that situation. Like this juice taking out the machine from, yeah, sugarcane, same way, right? So, in that situation, if you live in that way, without attachment to it, accepting that, this is why I am here, this is why I have been put into this condition, there must be a reason behind that. And without desiring anything, accepting it in that way, gradually, Chitta Shuddhi will come from that. Chitta Shuddhi will come from that, if you accept it that way. And that bhavana will come. Bhavana will come, right? And that bhavana, what that comes from that, is called bhakti. When chittam gets purified, chitta shuddhi happens. Not like today, in the past, people didn't have such big ambitions to go all over the world to get educated, or go all over the world to get a job and to make money and all that. This was not there. This is a new thing, isn't it? In the new gens have mostly that's the way it is. People moving from one country to another because they say the tax is too high here. So this is how things are now. They say Dubai is a better place because it's less tax. And things like that, is it not? So for these reasons they are leaving the country. They are leaving one country to another country. And whatever it is. So the thing is this, to understand that that they have not recognized these things. Then why has Krishna put us in a particular situation is because of the because of our prarabdha. He knows what he is doing with us. Antaryami knows, yeah? So, if you are able to accept it without, in that way, that it is Krishna has put some reason why I am here in this particular situation, right? And without any sangam, nisangam, without attached to anything, without any desires from that, if you allow it to go through it, chittam will get purified. Chitta Shuddhi will come, and bhavana will come, and that bhavana is bhakti. Bhavana is bhakti. So, bhakti also comes in like a bhavam. Bhakti bhavam is also like any other bhavam. What we have spoken here, that he says, ahimsa, samatha, tushti, tabo, danam, yashas, ayashas, bhavandi bhavo, bhudanam, matayeva, pradagvida. So, bhakti bhavam comes in this way. Accepting that Krishna has put us in a situation for a reason behind it, and without sangam, if you conduct the life in that way, without getting attached to that, conduct the life in that way, without attachment and aversion, accepting that, Krishna has put me in that situation, that's fine. And without sangam, and without expecting any nishkama, without any desires, allowing too many desires to build up, without allowing that, not allowing many desires to build up, means in a detached mood, if you are able to accept that situation all the time, then what will happen is that chittam will get purified. Chitta Shuddhi will come from that, and bhavana will come. And that bhavana is bhakti bhavam will come. Bhakti bhavana. Bhakti is also a bhavam like all the other bhavam. Right? Jnanam is the I. Bhakti is bhava. That's the difference between Jnanam and Bhakti. Jnanam is the I, able to see things properly. Bhakti is the bhavam inside a person. Yeah. Bhakti bhavana. So, and you understand this bhavam, to understand bhavam, how Antaryami is doing this in us, right? For example, if you look at this, before sunrises, the birds will start chirping. They create a sound, is it not? How do they do that? That they have not seen the light, but they can feel the light. The light is going to come. They know that. Here you don't know much, but because the sun rises at different times here, isn't it? But where in India, particularly in the south, all the 6, 12 hours day, 12 hours night. So every day you are waking up, say 5 o'clock in the morning. If you are waking up at 5 o'clock, by then you will see the nature reacting already. The birds will start making the sound. Sun has not come out yet, but that noise that comes from the birds, that is a strong indication that without watch you know the sun is going to come now. You'll get that feeling, right? Yeah. So these birds cannot see the light, but they can feel the light coming. Sunrise, they can feel it. And they are reacting to that. Their feelings, they are expressing. They are getting ready for their day by the noise of the birds, right? So, the bhakti is like that. Yeah, we have not seen Krishna, right? But without seeing Krishna, a type of feeling and attachment comes to him. Bhavana. That is, attraction to Krishna comes inside us. That is also bhakti bhava. We have not seen Krishna, but if you are feeling an attachment like that, attraction to Krishna like that, it means that one day it will happen. It is like the birds waiting for the sun to come. But its symptoms is already manifesting in the birds. In the same way, before Krishna comes in our life, seriously, we become connected to Krishna, this bhakti bhavam will come in a person prior to that, right? So, prema bhakti, bhava bhakti, all this is bhakti only. But these are all symptoms of what is going to happen in later, para bhakti, right? So, what is going to happen, it is building up inside in the form of this bhavam, right? So, in everything, first Krishna gives the bhavam, and it is after that he brings the issue. He brings it happen. First he brings the bhavam in a person and then the vastu comes in life. First anger comes and then the incident happens. First lust comes and then the fall down happens. First greed comes and then the money comes later. So bhavam is prior to. Bhavam is the force behind that. That manifests first in a person, before the action happens. Everything. It is like that. Yeah. So, similarly, spiritual master also, guru, then before you get to know him, the bijam inside is already there. The seed is already there. So, and that bijam will be lying there inside. The seed will be lying inside. And that is why when you see that guru, the guru, right, recognition happens very quickly. This is going to be my guide in that way, right? So, guru, before he had come in front of you in the form, right, the seed of that bhavana was already inside us, right? So, all this is covered in that one line, matta eva pradagvida. Matta eva pradagvida. That's all Krishna has to say about it. The different bhavams, whatever it may be, the bhavams that comes in us, what all we discussed today, different types of bhavam, all Krishna says comes from me. That is the important thing to understand. All different bhavams in us comes from Antaryami. whether it is a relationship with the Guru, all other relationships in this world, father, mother, brothers, sisters, relations, similar, who is behind all these things? Antaryami. Antaryami is controlling everything. That is the important verse. Bhavandi bhava bhodanam. Even though it's only two lines, what is packed into those two lines is our whole life. In those two lines, Krishna has packed our whole life into it. Bhavandi bhava bodhanam mata eva pradagvidaha. All the experiences what we have. So, when does bhakti bhavam comes? That is what we were talking about. That bhakti bhavam comes, Krishna says, in that verses before, in the 266, what he said. Yeah, nasi buddhyur ayuktasya. Yes, naja ayuktasya bhavana, naja ta bhavayada shandi, ashandasya kutasukham. Ashandasya kutasukham. So again, shandi, Krishna talks about. Without shandi, what happiness, Krishna says? Without shandi, what is the happiness? And without bhavam, what shandi? He says, na ja bhavayada shandi, ashandasya kutasukham. Nasti buddhi ayuktasya, na ja ayuktasya bhavana, na ja bhavayada shandi, ashandasya kutasukham. So, that important subject is covered in those two lines. Yeah. Bhavandi bhava bodhanam mata eva pradagvidha. Everything is happening from me. Krishna is saying this. Everything is, me means antaryami, inside, yeah. So, and then Krishna is saying that, having said that, everything is coming from antaryami. Similarly, perfect personalities, perfections, right, also comes from me, Krishna saying. Perfect person, that is the next verse. Have a look at it. In the next verse, what Krishna is saying. Maharshaya sapta purve chatvaro manavastatha madbhava manasa jada yesham logaima prajaha. Yeah. All the seven sages, the great Saptarshis they are called, is it not? And they will change according to the different manandaram. It may listed in the Bhagavatam in the 8th canto. Saptarshis change. Who are the Saptarshis now? It is listed there. Yes. So, all these Saptarshis and the Manus who were there before, they were all came from me, from my Sangalpa. Krishna is saying that. And all other people, they have come afterwards. It's their creation. The others have come. Maharshaya sapta brigvadaya purve atida kala sambandhinaha chatvaro manava tathaha savarnaha idi prasiddaha teja madbhavaha madgada bhavanaha vaishnavena samarthena upedaha manasaha manasa eva utpadidaha maya jada utpannaha esha manunam maharshinam ja srishtihi loge imaha savara jangamaha prajaha. Then all the saptarshis, seven sages, and then all the four manus, savarnis they are called, they all came from me and Vaishnava Samarthyam. And it is from that everything has come. He is saying that in essence, Saptarishis and Manus, they have come from me. Saptarishis mentioned, isn't it? Mariji or Atri, Angirasa, all these. Then, Bhur Bhuva Swah, Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tabologam, Satyalogam. They are the Sapta Vyakritis, they are called. Then Agni, Vayu, Arka, Sun. Similarly, Varuna, Indra, Vagisha, and seven Devadas. All these are used in Sandhyavandanam prayers. When the Brahmanas do the Sandhyavandanam, the prayers involve all these personalities, right? Vyahrdi. Vyahrdi means offerings when it is done. The rishis who are involved, right? Sometimes, you know, Sandhyavandanam becomes a ritual. Sandhyavandanam, we are supposed to perform that with full understanding of the Sandhyavandanam. Sandhyavandanam itself is a big thing and depends on the gotram where you are coming. The Sandhyavandanam's verses also changes along with that, right? Sometimes they won't know the connection with the rishis. So many years, this relationship with the rishis in whose parambara they had come. And that will be known in only after performing Sandhyavandanam for a long period of time. And then you realize that there is a connection between all these things, right? Atri, Vasishtha Maharshi, Gautama Maharshi, Angiras. For every one of them, there is Chandasa, Gayatri, Anushtipa, Ushni, Jagati. These are the different Vyakritis exist, right? And all this is related to Vedam, Vaidika Mithis. Those who have to understand, study all these things, then you have to go to the that aspect of the Vedic knowledge, right? So, everything related to Vaidika Karma, Sandhyavandanam also. Right? So, Sapta Rishis, the seven sages, similarly, Manus, all the Manus. All the Manus means, before the Sapta Rishis came, there were four Manus before that. And then the Kumaras, Sanaga, Sananda, Sanadana, Sanat, Kumara, right? Then you have to take all the 14 Manus listed in the 8th canto. So then you have got Uttamam, Tamasam, Swarojisha Manu, Raivada Manu, Chakshusha Manu, Vaivasuda Manu. In this way there are 14 Manus listed in the 8th canto. Right? Now we are in the Vaivasuda Manu, 7th Manu. We are in the 7th Manu, Vaivasuda Manu. And then these 14 Manus and the 7 Saptarshis of this Manandaram, right? And the 4 Kumaras who existed before, Sanaga, Sananda, they are existing still, but they were born. Where did they all come from? Krishna is saying, Madbhava Manasa Jada. He is saying here, Maharshaya Sapta Purve Chatvaro Manavastada Malbhava Manasa Jada. They were come from Andaryami, again, Madbhavam, Manasa Jada, through the mind, from Krishna's Manaso Jada, right? Madbhava Manasa Jada. In Madhva Sampradayam, Madhvacharya Sampradayam, right? For them, this is all big things, important things for them, right? They will say that these five differences exist in the Dvaita Sampradayam. What are they? Between Jiva and Ishvara, they say there is permanent difference between a Jiva and Ishvara. It's not like in the Advaita, right? Similarly, between Jiva and Jiva, there is a permanent difference. Between Jadam and Chaitanyam, there is a permanent difference. Similarly, between Jadam and Jadam, there is permanent difference, right? Nityam, similarly, with bondage and liberation, there is permanent difference. Nitya Buddha, Nitya Mukta. So, that is how they accept Madhvacharya's teachings. These five differences is important for them. And This difference is there in the Prakriti. We agree with that. He is not questioning that. It is there in the Prakriti, right? And but this differences is one dimension of that. It is not permanent. This is the difference between Advaitam and Dvaitam. Advaitam believes that these differences are not permanent. Dvaitam believes that permanently this exists, these differences, right? So in one dimension they are right in saying, but but what they are saying is this will remain like this forever. And they are also saying this 8.4 million different species of life will exist always. And they are saying the gross form will disappear, but its subtle form, in the form of the seed, will remain like that permanently. That's their argument. When they say that the Jiva Ishvara form, and they are talking about, the Jivas are all these 8.4 million different species, right? They are saying that the gross form may disappear, but the subtle form will, in the form of the seed of that, will always exist. That's what their position is, right? So, so Ajam, so in that dimension, what they are saying is that Vedam won't go away. Advaitam doesn't say like that. Advaitam says, this Vedam is not permanent. Saptarishis, Manus, everyone is Krishna Swarupam only, another Swarupam, right? And they are all existing all the time. So sometimes this question will come, do they exist all the time? Right? If you ask that question, the answer is that, why not? They can exist. It's just a question is like this, that we exist, don't we? We are existing. If we are existing, they should also exist. What is the difficulty in the thinking like that? Because sometimes people want to know everything they want to understand first, whether it exists or not. Heavenly planets, do they exist? Hellish planets, do they exist? If you ask a question like that, the answer for that is, these are all different plane of existence, different planes of existence. People ask the question, does the hellish planets exist? If you ask the question, in the same way you can ask, do the heavenly planets exist or not? In Puranam, all these questions will come. Hellish planets exist or heavenly planets exist, right? So the answer is this, that are we existing? If we are existing, they can also exist, is it not? But when we are existing, how do we see us? We see us now in avidya, in the form of body, mind, senses, and the world. This is how our existence is now. So that means our field of existence is in one level now. We exist in this field at the moment, but we can change from this field to another field, but we, our existence don't change. You know what I'm saying? We, our existence, awareness, bodham, what we are, the consciousness. At the moment, it is spread in all these things. So that means this is the mandalam of our existence. Mandalam means the field of existence, right? So this field of existence can change into another level. And that is what is hellish level. Or it can be in another level, in the heavenly level also. It's all a field of existence. More than inquiring about the whether they exist, the field exists or not, or the planets exist or not, because people want to know this, that where are these hellish planets? Where are the heavenly planets? We don't see them anything. So that is where this question comes up. So the answer is that if I am existing, they are all existing. But that field is not accessible to us at the moment. We are not in that field of existence. So Devata existence is also, when Sattugunam increases in a person, he is already a Devata, he is. Sattuyam Gunam increases in a person, he is always existing in the Devata form. He has already reached that state, right? So, the answer to that is, if we are existing, they can also exist. in the same way, is it not? but we won't believe that because all scientists have to tell us. Only then we will accept it, right? And he, if he goes through his telescope and he comes back and says something, any stupid thing, we will believe that. This is the difference. You see, Vedam and the rishis are saying to us so many subtle things, right? But we want the proof for everything. And if the scientist comes and goes to the telescope and he says, yes, in this planet, that planet, then we will accept it. But when Vedam says, we won't accept it. This is our problem. This is our problem. And if the scientists will come and tell all kinds of things, you know, you think that they are such, that's where everything goes wrong. They will, first we were saying that we had these 9 planets, right? And then suddenly one day they said, there is not 9, 1 is missing, they said. This huge creation. They looked through the telescope and they came back and said that 1 is missing, they can't find the 9th one, they said. And we, scientists have told us. Yeah, we won't accept that. But Vedam says that 9 planets exist. We are finding it difficult to accept that. Yeah, this is our mind is like that now. It's become like that practically, you can say that way, right? So think about this, right? They're saying that 1 planet is missing, they're saying. Just like you have kept a coconut or a mango at home, you can't find it. Find it. You can't find that. Similarly, they are telling us, they look through this thing called or their big telescope or whatever it is, and they are coming when 1 planet is missing, they are saying. Like, this is how our scientific, so-called science is talking about, right? So, so there is no perfection in all this knowledge, this kind of knowledge. There is no perfection, right? And you know this, all this journey to Mars and all that, what they are organizing is in their thinking. Some false hopes are built up in all these things, thinking that one day we will land there and they just want to settle down in Mars. What kind of thinking is there? Here you've got about 78 years of life. In that you want to go there. So it shows that there's something seriously wrong with these people in their brain, is it not? Right. And when they talk all these things, nobody questions that. And they say, yeah, they get geared up, they get ready to go and organize themselves. When Vedam says so many things, we find it difficult to agree with it, right? And when they say they want a one-way trip, they don't even want to say, they don't even want to come back some, because there's so much land there, to so much oil there to drill, and so many things to do, to explore, they say, isn't it? So, this is where our people are like that. Young people, most of the people get misguided in this way, right? So, that is the bhavam what we have created. Yeah? It is a type of bhavam what we have now because of these kind of things, right? But look at Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is saying to us, right? Krishna is saying, everything comes from me. That's what Krishna is saying. So, there he is saying, all the rishis and the 4 kumaras, and then Krishna is saying that Rudra, Brahma, they all come and when these different forms, what we are referring to, Rudra or Brahma, Indra, all of them, Krishna is saying that has come from me. It has come from me. And at that time we find it difficult to accept that, right? And when we say this, that it has all come from Chaitanyam or consciousness, we find it that it is not very scientific, right? It is not very scientific. But when someone comes and tells us, we have all come from the monkeys, it is scientific. This is our position, right? This Darwin theory, it is still being taught in schools that, and when we say, try to understand this, right? The principle involved. When somebody tells me that my ancestors were monkeys, what do I think about myself? Right? So, everybody else before me was stupid. I am the most intelligent one of the whole parampara. If I am the most intelligent one of this parampara, right, because I am the most civilized and most perfect and in every angle, I am the best out of this whole parampara, right? So, it is because of this that this society has become upside down. Upside down means that nobody has any, the society's nature, I'm saying, mercy has gone, truthfulness has gone, right? And unable to live peacefully and no shanti inside. And this is the society created by the perfect ones. The perfect species is now, which has come from the monkeys, developed and developed and developed, and finally came to this form now. And in this form, this is what you find. No shanti, no mercy, no truthfulness, and in everything the worst form you find in this perfect society. So-called perfect society, right? So, so you can see here, whereas Krishna is saying, everything was perfect in the beginning. All the qualifications were there of a perfect source. Source was perfect. And from there, it got degraded and degraded and degraded, and it has come to this. So, this is how Vedam sees these things. Shastram sees it like this. From perfection, it deteriorated and degraded and came to this state. We say everything was degraded in the beginning. It became improved and improved and improved, and it has become perfect like the way we are now. Whom should I believe? Whom should I believe? If this is perfection, we don't need this perfection, what we have got now. Everyone is living in fear, fearful of each other, and no mercy to any other living entity. Everything is for my enjoyment, and exploit and suck everybody out. And is this the perfect society? So you can see the way of thinking between the Shastram and the science. Science is teaching us like this, and Darwin has done his contribution to that. And we foolishly believe all these things. But Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, it is me, the source, everything. Everything is perfect. And that is why all this creation is talking about Maharshaya Saptapurve Chatvaro Manavastada Malbhava Manasa Jada Yesham Lokaima Prajaha. Others have all come later on, and in this process of, this is also evolution, what Krishna is talking about. But in Krishna's evolution, perfection was in the beginning. In the evolution process, it got degraded and degraded, and by this age we have become in this way we are. Whereas in the scientific evolution, which is only probably 2000 years old, or I don't know when Darwin lived, he found out with his brain whatever he has invented and convinced the world, and everybody started singing the same music, that whatever he said must be true, because Darwin has said that. So here, everything is under the times have changed. To understand this time, what we are living now, right? As we are progressing, everything requires, human relationships also changes, right? Now we need identification card, isn't it? You know, different types of identification cards. They have issued like passport, this, that, everything, right? And equally, we are finding it difficult now to trust each other. we can't trust, right? They will always say, show the paper. To prove that you are that person. Yeah. So, whereas Vedam says, Tattvamasi, you are Brahman. Right? And if you go to the airport, first they are looking at you as though you are a terrorist. Come to bomb the place. You have to prove that you are not a terrorist. This is the situation. This is how much people trust each other. Everybody is looking at each other with suspicion. That is he, what is he going to do the next? If a bag is kept in your hand, he says, show me what is inside your bag. So like this you can see, look at our nature, how distrustful we have become each other. Right? So you have, and if you show some paper, he believes in that. So you can believe in the paper, you can't believe in the person anymore. It has come to that, right? You believe in the paper, but not in the person. If you show a paper, he says, oh, it's okay now. You show the paper, that he lets you in. So this is how the whole thing is, right? Finding it difficult to trust each other, and that is what Krishna is mentioning here, that trust is required. We have to... Vedam is saying Tattvamasi. Vedam is teaching us that. Tattvamasi, that truth is us. And we, between ourselves, we have created this relationship. Vedam says to us, Tattvamasi, you are that Tattvam inside us, right? Tattvamasi, right? So, but if there is a trust among humans, in human society, that society will be more peaceful. But when there is no trust, everything is based on rules and controls and regulations, that society won't last very long. It will end up in catastrophe, right? So you may think that without this, how can we live? Because people think like that now. Without all these identity cards and all different kinds of security systems, how can the society... For everything, they think that you have to have a mechanism by which you can control that. That is not in human society. It shouldn't be like that. Maybe some people may cheat us in that process, right? But we shouldn't make life so complex in that way, right? So, you know what happened? This has affected everywhere. In Bharat Bhumi, this kind of things never used to be. Identity card and all that. Nobody said anything. You know, you were born in one place, you just lived there, right? You know what happens now? In Hrishikesh, in Tirunamalai and all that, they are issuing identity cards to the sannyasis also. They are given identity cards because there is also so many fake ones there. Things have gone to, even in spiritual field I'm saying, it has come to this level. Identity cards are given, right? Because... there were a lot of people who were stealing things and the police were finding it difficult. So police are saying that if you give identity cards to all of them, we know who they are, who are living as sadhus in that particular area. And then if any problem happens, if they, if they move away or hide away or run away from there, they can be easily identified. People use this dress, sannyasi dress, to do criminal activities also can happen, right? But all, what does it all show? It shows that this recognition that Krishna is inside us, Antaryami, has gone completely from inside. We have lost that, right? And so Sanatana Dharmam did not encourage this way of life, of distrusting everybody. Instead, to see the Antaryami in everyone, that's the way the Sanatana Dharmam allowed the society to live. And nobody mistrusted anybody. So many people come, go, all these things in this world. So you can understand that the way Bhagavad Gita is presenting to us, that the... is we have to have faith in others. A human being has to have a faith in another human being. That's gone now. That is a sad story. And that is not Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma means you have faith in others, right? Yeah. So, and that, to accept that Shraddha, that Antaryami is present in everyone. We may think that, how could you lose that? How have we lost it, right? Once you lose that faith in others, and then it becomes very difficult, then that means we have practically fallen away from the truth to a large extent. Yeah. So, Vedam, Bhagavad Gita and all is always reminding us this. Antaryami is inside, in every jiva, there is Antaryami inside, this awareness. And that is, we are losing it totally, right? So, so accepting that in everyone's heart, Krishna is present as Antaryami. That is a big thing in life, right? And it can work miracles, this Antaryami, right? Because creation comes from him. Creation didn't come from Jadam, that matter, right? From Chaitanyam, Srishti has come. Life comes from life, is it not? So, Brahmasutra Bhashyam, this awareness is what is spoken there. In Brahmasutra Bhashyam, this is spoken in detail. That consciousness or Chaitanyam is the source, not matter. Chaitanyam is the source. And these are all bhavams that's coming from them. Right? And everything is samanvayam. Samanvayam means bringing it back into that tattva. And that tattva samanvayad, there is a sutram itself, fourth or fifth sutram in the Brahma Sutram is tattva samanvayad. Samanvayam means bringing it together into one, into that one. Right? Creation didn't come from matter. Creation came from Chaitanyam, from consciousness, right? And Ishvara, where did Ishvara come from? From Chaitanyam, right? From where father, mother came? From Chaitanyam. And when a child is born, right? When a child is born, the mother, for the sake of the child, makes a lot of sacrifices in her life to bring up the child, is it not? Right? And where did that come from, that sacrificing nature in the mother? Where did that come from? Why does the mother feel that way, that bhavam? Where did that come from? Right? It is not from her. That's Krishna inside. Antaryami inside is making her to do that without her knowledge. She may not know that, but somehow or the other it is happening though. How does that happen? Antaryami inside. Yeah. In this way, to see things in this way is Vaidyam, Vedic way of seeing things. Not this passport business and identity cards and Aadhaar card and all that. This is nothing to do with. That shows that we have become much more degraded in that way, right? So, so when the child is born, suddenly that rope of attachment comes from inside to the mother, right? So, and animals also have got that, but because the animals don't have a mind like what we have got, as soon as the child grows up, the baby of the animal gets bigger and able to hunt for the food, immediately that connection is broken. They leave the parents and they go. They may not see each other again. It's gone, once for all, right? And then they may not even recognize each other. They will be forced to, they'll be driven out from their cage or from their cave, wherever they are living. The parents will drive them out to get to go, because they are able to hunt themselves. Their job is only able, necessary, their attachment to that particular baby is only till it is able to hunt its own food. After that, gone. Thrown out from there. Right? So, and where... but for us the problem is, because we have got this thing called mind, we register it there in the mind. That attachment gets registered. Whereas animals don't have that problem. Because they don't have a mind, and they don't, that doesn't register in there permanently. Whereas in our case, because of this mind, it gets registered there, and then the son will always stay as a son for us, or a daughter will always remain as a daughter, right? And this is all coming from that bhavam, is coming from Antaryami. Antaryami, right? So, matta eva pradagvidha. What he mentions there? Madbhavo manasa jada yesham loga ima prajaha. So, understanding Ishvara is not easy. It's not easy, right? Ishvara is not electricity, like electricity. It's not like electricity, right? For example, father, mother, son, daughter, relations, right? And Krishna is saying that in a way to make us understand. Sukhrutam sarva bhudanam yatva mam shanti mruchyati, he's saying, right? That means that Sukhruta, friend, and that connection with them. Sukhrutam sarva bhudanam, with all living entities, right? All these things is present in consciousness, Chaitanyam, right? And because it is there in the source, Chaitanyam is the source in consciousness. That is what is coming later on through us. Sukhadam sarvabhudanam yatvamam shantim rachari, right? So, a baby is born, at that time you can see what Chaitanyam is in that woman. In the woman, you can see that, right? And and you can see that in the, even in the monkeys, even in the cats, in the dogs, everything. How protective they are with their babies, are they not, right? They won't let you get closer to them. If a dog delivers a few puppies, if you get close, he will get you. He won't let you come anywhere closer to the baby, right? So, that protection for the baby, that is power of Ishvara. So coming through the dog, coming through the dog. Once grown up, gone, finished, right? So, matta eva prathak vidham. In many different ways it manifests in this world. And this Ishvara's presence in this world, you have to observe in all these things. In all these things, right? And that is why in Bhagavadam you see that what Narada Maharshi told Vedavyas. There is a verse in the first canto itself. If you look into the 5th chapter, 1:5:20. Idam hi vishvam bhagavani vetaro yato jagalsthana nirodha sambhavaha taddhi swayam veda bhavam sthathapi vai pradesha matram bhavada pradarshidam. Sri Narada Maharshi is saying this to Vedavyas. Idam hi vishvam bhagavani vetaro yato jagalsthana nirodha sambhava taddhi swayam veda bhavam sthathapi vai pradesha matram bhavada pradarshidam. Narada Maharshi is saying, idam vishvam itaraha bhavadi bhadi. This vishvam is Krishna. Idam vishvam bhagavan. Idam hi vishvam bhagavan. What this world is, Krishna is. It is this world is Krishna because Krishna is present in everything. And you can notice that in all these relationships, different ways, yeah? So, Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, this is Krishna himself. This world is Krishna. But for us now, we are not feeling like that, that this world is Krishna. Bhagavadam says, idam ki vishvam bhagavani vedaro, yado jagalsthana nirodha sambhavam. Right? And Ulbhavam Sthanam Nirodham. all things, three things are happening here, right? It is happening in this world. Ulbhavam, sthanam, nirodham. Creation, maintenance, and its destruction, right? And but know that this is happening in him. Chaitanyam. Idam ki vishwam. You cannot take all these as in a personal way. You have to take in the form of Chaitanyam only. Everything is in the form of Chaitanyam. Otherwise it will be very difficult to explain this. You will find a lot of anomalies otherwise, if you don't take it as Chaitanyam. In Chaitanyam this is all happening. That is what Sarada Maharshi is saying to Vedavyas. Idam hi vishwam bhagavani veda. Bhagavan addresses Bhagavan. Bhagavan means that Chaitanyam, right? And in that Chaitanyam, he is saying here, all these three things are happening. What are they? Jagal sthana nirodha sambhavam. Creation, maintenance and destruction, right? And similarly, Krishna is saying here that Matta Eva, Saptarshis, Kumaras, Manus have all come from me. In the same way he is saying here, Arjuna. And if you know that, what is the benefit? Everything is coming from Krishna. It is in Krishna and it goes back to Krishna. When we say Krishna, that's Chaitanyam, right? So, if you know like that, if you stay as there is only Krishna here, if you realize it like that, whether you shut your eyes or you open your eyes, you are in the samadhi state, yogasthiti. That is what he is saying here. Taddhi swayam veda bhavam stadabhivai pradesha matram bhavada pradarshidam. In other words, that to see this world as Krishna, not as a person, as Chaitanyam's presence in this world, Chaitanyam's presence in this world, if you have realized that, at the moment we are not feeling that. We are thinking everything is separate. That is because we are not seeing Chaitanyam. We are only seeing the Namarupam. At the moment we are in the Namarupam stage. From Namarupam goes away, Chaitanyam cover. It's the same thing Ishopanishad says also. Ishavasamidam sarvam. What does it mean? Cover everything with Krishna, with Paramatma Chaitanyam, and don't see the Namarupam. That is what Ishavasamidam sarvam means. Ishavasamidam sarvam means you are covering this whole creation with Paramatma Chaitanyam and realizing that this is Chaitanyam. Experiencing it as Chaitanyam. At the moment we are realizing this Namarupam, we don't see Chaitanyam here, we only see the Namarupam. Realized souls see only Chaitanyam here, they don't see the Namarupam. That's the difference between us and the realized state. Remember what Krishna has said, that isn't it? Dehasobina dehasta, the same thing. The difference between the one in the identifying with the body and identifying with the mind, that person is always seeing everything in the form of Namarupam only. We cannot see in terms of Chaitanyam. So, Ishavasam idam sarvam tena tektena pumjita madhrida kasva siddhanam, he says. Ekinchat jagatyam jagat. That verse is, you see, actually, the 18 verses in the Ishopanishad, its expansion is the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Each 18, that is in a much subtle level. 18 verses, if you very carefully study all the 18 verses in the Ishopanishad, its expansion is this 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. Ishopanishad and Bhagavad Gita is connected very closely connected, right? So what here he is saying is that Krishna is saying in this verse, Maharshaya Saptapurve Chatvaro Manavastada Malbhavo Manaso Jada Yesham Loga Ima Praja. You have to see this whole creation as Chaitanyam, not through the Namarupam. Not through Namarupam. In other words, only Krishna exists, only Chaitanyam exists. Whether you shut your eyes or you open your eyes, you are in that yoga state, samadhi sthiti. And that samadhi sthiti is what Krishna calls as avigamba yogam, which is the next verse. See, in the next words, he's talking about avigamba yogam. Avigamba yogam means where there is no vigambam. Vigambam comes from this namarupam. When you are seeing the world in the form of namarupam, it is vigambanam. That vigambanam goes away and it comes as avigamba yogam, right? So, in Vedantam, they will call this as sahaja nirvikalpa samadhi. And that is the power of knowledge, self-realized knowledge, right? It is not a state, it is knowledge itself, yeah? So, let's look at that next verse. Edam vibhudim yogam cha mama yo veti tattvadaha so avigambena yogena yujyade natra samshayaha. So, in Bhagavad Gita, yoga state is spoken in different ways. Bhakti yogam, jnana yogam, karma yogam are the major ones. Then you'll find so many other yogam spoken. Avigamba yogam, here it is. Buddhi yogam, another one spoken. Like this, yoga state, Krishna is explaining in different ways. We'll continue next Tuesday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.